is not a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes have come to be, and the people gather around. They offer all they can bring, and nobody went with that. And then a song sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. I hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes in bringing you the news from the Virginia legislature and around the globe. I'm your host, Rebecca Farris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. I am joined here live in the studio by Tyla Madison and Glenn Bessa. Tyla is the political chair of the Sierra Club Virginia chapter, and Glenn is the director of Sierra Club Virginia chapter. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have so much to cover today. If the listeners hear us talking, 78 RPM, that's because we're trying to cover so much today. We're going to be talking about the United Nations climate conventions and conferences, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Virginia legislature. So I hope that you will get a pen, get a friend, and settle in, because you're not going to want to miss any of this. But if you do, Tim, our blog master and engineer, is going to make sure that all of this is posted on our blog shortly after the show. This show will be archived also on the blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, and you can listen to us over and over and over again. Also, remember that this show is aired on the internet every Wednesday at 2:30. I have a couple of event announcements for you first before we jump into our conversation. Sunday, January the 30th at 4 p.m., the Richmond Youth Peace Project is going to be presenting its 6th annual Youth EduConcert Generation Dream 2011 that honors the life and legacy of Martin Luther King. This performance will be held at the Virginia Commonwealth University Singleton Performing Arts Center. This year, there's going to be a second performance, and it will be held on February the 4th at the Richmond Public Library's main branch. If you'd like to find out more about this, rpec.org, or give them a call, 232-1002. As you know, the Virginia legislature, the oldest legislative body in North America, is in session right now, and we just got an alert this morning from the Richmond Friends of Animals. There is a House Bill 1541, or also named Senate Bill 1026, that seeks to significantly weaken current laws that were set up to protect animals in Virginia from cruel treatment. With Virginia's current code, all animals are protected under the cruelty law, but if House Bill 1541 passes, agricultural animals would only have protection from emaciation, dehydration, and extreme lack of veterinary care. In addition, House Bill 1541 would require that livestock and horses potentially lose their legal protection from violent animal abuse. If you would like to let your legislators know how you feel about House Bill 1541, which also, by the way, could promote animal fighting because of some of its broad definitions, you can contact your legislators at Who's My Legislator? Google the Virginia General Assembly, and then there's a link there that says Who's My Legislator? Or you can give a call, 698-1500, and the operators there will tell you who your legislators are and will give you their phone numbers, 698-1500. We'll be giving you those numbers again later on in the show as well, but I wanted to give you that very quick update because House Bill 1541, or also called Senate Bill 1026, is going to be voted on today. And Richmond Friends of Animals is giving you a heads up. So if you'd like to let your voice be heard on that bill, you still have time, 698-1500. Okay, I think we need to jump right in to our discussion about what's going on with the legislature here in Richmond with regard to a lot of the environmental issues. And so we have Tyler Madison here. But first of all, Tyler, I think you're going to take us to the UN Climate Conference, right? You just got back from Cancun.
Yes.
And our listeners, regular listeners to Indie Media Live, will remember your report, your and Glenn's report last year from Copenhagen, and the year before that from Bali. So this is becoming an annual event for us here on Indie Media Live. So why don't you tell us how that went for you? How did you come to attend another United Nations climate conference?
Right. I have attended, as Rebecca said, all these others, and we're really excited about continuing the information that we get as observers to the Sierra Club delegation. So we went to the Bali event in 2007, which was a very exciting time when the Bali roadmap was agreed to, and then in Copenhagen last year in 2009, and then this December at Cancun in Mexico.
I've been very interested to see that in the press over the last year, Copenhagen has been called a basic bust.
Right. So we wanted to make sure that we continue to go to show that we care a lot about what's going on in the international arena. And so we go to these different COPs. And so I thought maybe I'd explain what a COP is, and that's a conference of the parties where participating nations, and there's 194 of them, convene to discuss how they begin to reduce carbons using different methods, and there's a lot of different methods, including forestry, including finance, but two terms that I thought I would talk about is mitigation, which is a way to use less and less fuels, fossil fuels, which pollute the atmosphere and bring about climate change. And another one that we've been watching very carefully is adaptation, which addresses how each country must plan as the climate does change. For example, with rising sea levels and dealing with heavier rain events that we do see here in Virginia, and more flooding. And of course, we don't see the glaciers here, but they are in other parts of the world, which brings about a problem with water supply for the people that depend on the glaciers. And the climate becomes more unpredictable with other events such as droughts.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of droughts around, and I know that we've had some droughts here in Virginia, too. It's interesting to make that connection between rainfall and climate change, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So what impressed you the most in Cancun this year?
Oh, well, I would say meeting the people that are most affected, and they do come out to the conferences. They are absolutely desperate for the polluters to set limits and to agree to those limits. And sometimes we feel that the glaciers are melting faster than the negotiators are making agreements. So
you're able to, so the indigenous people of these countries come?
Yes, they do. It's probably quite expensive for them to come, but on occasion, some of them do come, and we see them in their native outfits, and we talk to them through translators sometimes if they don't speak some of the more common languages.
Organizations like Friends of the Earth and also Oxfam do a good job bringing indigenous people. Those are international organizations. The Sierra Club is really based just in the U.S. and Canada, but those organizations are international in scope, and they do a good job bringing some of these different people who are affected to the summits each year, which is incredibly important.
So we've seen people from Bangladesh and from Vietnam, from the Seychelles Islands, and they are able to tell us firsthand how their shorelines are being no longer protected, how the ocean is increasingly affecting their groundwater. And even in our own country, in Alaska, where the permafrost is melting, which cracks the foundations, and entire indigenous Alaskan villages have now been forced to relocate away from the coast, which is a great cost to U.S. taxpayers and a great sorrow to the villagers that have to move. And something else that impressed me in this Cancun event was the youth delegations that always come, but we saw firsthand the New Zealand youth that were staying at the same hostel where we stayed. And, you know, we pay our own way, so it helps to stay in a low budget place like a hostel, which was really quite nice. And the Sierra Club had 40 participants as official delegates. And so we can watch what's going on. And about half of those were students from the Sierra Student Coalition. And we're very impressed with the how they were so fully engaged and organized. They could organize events, and they asked quite a lot of questions of the negotiators. And in fact, the United States and the Chinese youth delegations got together and developed a mock climate agreement and met with top legislators, negotiators, to demonstrate that if the youth can move ahead, why can't the top U.S. and Chinese negotiators move ahead?
That touches me so much. I can't imagine how you must have felt witnessing all of this. But it is the children, the youth, that are going to be experiencing these impacts of climate change long after we are gone. And so I can imagine that they're very passionate about what's happening.
So we're trying to see what the next steps can be, because it doesn't seem that the United States is moving ahead in the Congress. And so we are hoping that we can continue to move ahead. In fact, we are seeing that we are moving ahead with the cities taking the lead. And this is in the United States and around the world. In the United States, with an organization called ICLEI, because they can work with the cities. The pollution in the cities accounts for about 80% of all the carbon emissions. And they can set emission controls. They can help the cities to develop plans and to measure their emissions, set plans, and then implement the plans.
ICLEI, ICLEI. And we've talked on this show before about cool cities.
Right. The city of Richmond actually is doing a good job. They've hired a sustainability coordinator. And she is working with all the different departments of the city and the mayor's support to implement a number of measures in the city to, for example, there was a nice piece recently in the paper about the bikeways efforts that's going in the city to give people alternative transportation and a number of other efforts to reduce carbon emissions and also increase some renewable energy on some of the buildings too.
Exactly. And not only in the cities, but ICLEI works with other cities around Virginia, quite a number of them, about a dozen. And also similar organizations like ICLEI work with the universities. And we have several universities in the area that are also measuring their emissions and developing plans to lower their carbon output. And people can do things as well on an individual basis, such as join a group like Earth Aid, which is a way to measure our electricity, gas, and water and find ways to reduce, and also have like a friendly competition with others to do that. And and businesses will provide rewards in the area, such as restaurants and yoga classes. So there's something that can be done every day.
Earth Aid is a website that people can go on and sign up and basically track their emissions. And it's being supported by the city of Richmond as a part of their efforts to make their citizens more aware of their emissions and what they can do about them.
Excellent. If you've just tuned in, it is 15 minutes before the hour. This is Indy Media Live, and we're talking with Tyla Madison, the political chair of the Sierra Club Virginia Chapter, and Glenn Bessa, the director of the Sierra Club Virginia Chapter. Tyla, thank you so much for that report. I know that the next climate conference is going to be in Durban, South Africa. Are you thinking about
attending that one as well? That's a long ways, and we do pay our own way to go, as I think I mentioned, but it's worthwhile.
And if you do, will you come back and give us a report on Durban?
I'd love to.
Thank you so much. Now, you're not going to step away from the mic yet, because now we're moving on to the General Assembly.
Well, let's link a couple things together,
yeah,
if we could. One thing that's amazing from going to these climate summits is how much influence the United States has. People look to the United States as, I wouldn't say look at it as a leader, but bottom line is if we don't do anything, then it's an excuse for many other countries to do nothing as well. And unfortunately, the U.S. Congress failed to pass climate legislation last year. And because of that, the United States is really not doing its fair share. Basically, the United States and China represent 30% of the world's economy, and together we represent 40% of the emissions of CO2. So together, and we basically have about the same emissions. China recently went above us. But remember, China has four times as many people than we do. So that means if we're producing the same amount of carbon, that means each individual American produces four times more carbon than the average Chinese. So the question really is, what can we do? Back in Copenhagen, what happened was each country decided to make their own pledge. And in the case of President Obama, he made a pledge of a 17% reduction that he could reduce. And he can do that without the Congress. He's working with the US EPA right now to make reductions in CO2 emissions. And so they're going to be putting limits on the amount of CO2 that coal-fired power plants can produce. Basically, combustion coal plants could be gas as well, natural gas as well, on the amount that they can produce. And so they're moving forward with that. Now, because in all honesty, nothing's going to happen in the Congress. With this new Congress that was just elected, they literally, I think there was some outstanding number of the 80 or so new Congress members that were elected, most of whom are Republican. Most of those folks do not believe that climate change is real or do not believe that humans have an impact on it, which is just basically bad science. They just don't understand the science. The science is extremely well established with regard to climate change. There certainly are certain uncertainties, but as I say to people who say they doubt climate change because it's a theory, well, gravity is a theory too, but we use it every day. So just because there are scientists speak in terms of theories because they never know everything. They always want to refine it. And whether it's gravity or whether it's climate change, the science is pretty well established, and we know that we need to do something. So what has happened is the EPA is moving forward now with action to reduce emissions. And wouldn't you know it, there's members of the Congress that want to rein in the EPA.
So that's the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes, that's right, yeah. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So the U.S. Congress has a number of bills in there that would either cut the funding of the EPA or also would prohibit them from acting. Now, the EPA is taking action under the Federal Clean Air Act. The U.S. Supreme Court, this is the conservative Supreme Court in 2007, ruled that the Clean Air Act did extend to CO2 as an air pollutant, and therefore the EPA had the authority to regulate CO2. They've taken up that action now in this Obama administration. Nothing happened in the Bush administration. And that is why there is action in the Congress to roll back those efforts. We're going to be fighting tooth and nail. We're going to be doing everything we can to convince Senators Warner and Webb to oppose limiting the EPA's authority. The reason I say Warner and Webb is because the Republican control of the House of Representatives makes it clear that legislation will pass. The only way we can stop it is in the U.S. Senate. We're going to need the help of Senator Warner and Webb to do that. Nothing's before the Congress at this moment here, but we'll let you know in the future when those bills come up. And we need Senator Warner and Webb to say no to that and to support the EPA. So the other thing that the EPA is doing that I think is interesting is that it's not enough to control carbon. We really need to address the issues related to the pollution and where it comes from. Virginia brags about having a very low cost of energy compared to other states. And one of the reasons why, Rebecca, is because the coal does not cover the full cost. When they blow up a mountain in Appalachia, they don't pay for that. It's free. Okay. When they when they pollute the Chesapeake Bay, 25% of the nitrogen that goes in the bay that causes pollution, when they do that, okay, they don't pay for that either. Okay, so what the EPA is doing is they're adopting new regulations that are going to control mercury pollution. They're going to control the ozone pollution from coal plants, and also control the water pollution from coal mines. All those things are going to make it more expensive, frankly, for coal to be used, because then you'll have the true cost of coal. Then we'll be paying the true cost of coal and not just passing it on to the family who takes their child to the hospital for asthma, for example. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that maybe you should tell them about something that's going on in the state legislature right now.
Well, I was going to do that.
Okay. Sorry.
So that's what's happening at the federal level. The good news is at the federal level is the EPA just took action against one of the largest mountaintop removal coal mines, the Spruce Mine Number 1 in West Virginia, just last week. And by doing that, they've literally stopped most mountaintop removal coal mining. Now, there's a big push in Congress against that as well. There's also a push in the General Assembly against that as well. We have a mine in Virginia called the Ison Rock Ridge Mine, which is in Wise County. We've been working with the Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, a local group down there, to fight mountaintop removal. And right now, the EPA has the Ison Rock Ridge Mine, which is a mountaintop removal mine in Virginia, on hold as well. So we're hoping that's going to hold. Now, what's happening at the General Assembly relates to energy as well. There's a lot of different bills in there. And some of the bills are bills that we support. For example, there's legislation in there that would encourage energy efficiency by changing the way we are charged for our bills. Right now, if you live in a big house and you use a lot of energy, well, you get a discount for wasting energy, okay? The price goes down. It's called a declining block rate. In other words, the more you use, a volume discount, what it is, okay? So what we were trying to do is we're trying to turn that upside down and make it an inclining block rate, meaning the more power you use, the more you pay per unit to increase the cost. That's a fight that we have right now, and those bills are actually going to be heard in the House today. In fact, the legislation there is by Senator McEachin, Senate Bill 907, and also by Delegate Keem, which is House Bill 2270. Those bills are up right now. We put a lot of time into those. Other legislation that's out there would address this issue of the true cost of coal. We have a bill in there which would require the State Corporation Commission to consider the external costs, the externalities. Okay, so when they have an application by Dominion, for example, or AEP, before they can approve it, they've got to look at the external costs of these fossil fuels. Actually, the law requires them to look at all externalities. So they would look at the external costs of wind as well as the external costs of coal. And so that's some of the legislation that's out there. Let me talk about one bad bill that maybe your viewers might want to get involved in. At least we look at it as bad.
I want to remind our listeners that this stuff will be posted on the blog, indymedialive.blogspot.com, and I'm sure it's on Sierra Club's website as well.
Yes, they can go to vasierraclub.org, just vasierraclub.org.
And remember, 698-1500 is the number that you can call to find out who your legislator is, how to get in touch with them if you are interested in letting your voice be heard.
Yes, and let me talk about one more bill, if I may, before we close here. What we call it is a climate denier legislation. Delegate Bob Marshall has put in Bill 1398. There's some other bills, but House Bill 1398 is a bill that literally denies that climate change exists. It interferes with the EPA's ability to implement these regulations. It calls for the Attorney General to file a lawsuit against the EPA, which he's already done. And we think this is bad legislation. It's before the House Committee of Courts of Justice. And I wanted to give people this information because Delegate Manoli Lupasi, is actually a legislator from Richmond. And for those listeners who are represented by Lupasi, I would recommend that they call this number, 698-1068. That's his phone number at the legislature, and tell him what they think about this. Okay. Whether they support it or they oppose it. The legislation basically interferes with the ability of the EPA to adopt regulations and authorizes the state of Virginia to file a lawsuit against the EPA challenging climate change after they've done a study to determine the climate change is not real. And we think that's bad legislation, but we'll leave it to your viewers to decide whether they want to. They can, on that same, if they go in and they Google Virginia General Assembly, they can look at the bill. Again, it's House Bill 1398. And if they'd like to call Delegate Lupasi, they can call him at 698-1068.
to let their voices be heard. And you guys deal with the legislature a lot. I know we have about 30 seconds left. And so what would you say to our listeners about the impact of constituent phone calls on the legislators?
Those calls are critical. They need to hear from people. They don't hear from folks that much. I just was in a committee meeting yesterday, and literally it seems as though some of the legislators just don't believe in climate change and almost have contempt for people who are actually trying to do something to address climate change. So they've got to hear from people, their constituents, telling them that climate change is real and that they expect them to take action to protect the climate, to protect Virginia, to protect their children's future.
And I just want to say on behalf of myself, and I'm sure all of my listeners do, how much we appreciate the work that Sierra Club is doing to help protect the environment here in Virginia and around the world. I didn't realize until today that Sierra Club is also in Canada, but thank you for that as well, for that work as well. How do people get in touch with Sierra Club here in Richmond? We just had a show. This is apparently the Sierra Club Hour because half an hour ago we had Fall of the James on here, but how would people get in touch with the Sierra Club Virginia chapter, Glenn?
Our office number is local here, 804, of course. It's 225-9113. 225-9113.
And volunteers are a big part of Sierra Club, so we'd really...
Yeah, folks would love to volunteer. They'd love to volunteer. We'd love to have them as volunteers. They could call that number, and they can speak to Mary Rafferty. Mary Rafferty on our staff would love to get you in there, helping us stop bad legislation, helping us do a variety of things. In fact, we're working on uranium mining.
And we're going to have a show next week, sponsored by Sierra Club again, on uranium mining in the Commonwealth. Yes, you heard it right. And hopefully that's something that won't go too far forward. Tyler?
And I'll just say that you're invited to come to any of the Sierra Club meetings. We have a program coming up second Wednesday of every month at the Science Museum on 2500 West Broad Street, and we'll be doing a program on Cancun and energy and climate on Wednesday, March the 9th at 7 p.m. So you're all invited.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you all both for being here. I know you're crazy busy right now with the General Assembly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to remind everybody that last year President Obama signed a one-year extension of the Patriot Act provisions that did not include any additional protections for civil liberties or privacy. And now is the time to let your voice be heard on this issue again, because on February 2011, the Patriot Act is going to come up for authorization once again. The supporters of the Bill of Rights will be gathering this Thursday in Washington to express their concerns. Meet at 9 a.m. at the United Methodist Church, 100 Maryland Avenue Northeast, and there will be speakers and then meetings with our congresspersons, followed by an afternoon debriefing. The website, www.bordc.org. Until next week, I would like to remind everybody that on these cold days and frigid nights, our animals like to be warm as well. Just a general myth buster, if you are cold and want to come in, so do they. Animals are not made to live out in the freezing cold. Let's bust that myth. And another myth, veganism is the new Prius. Everybody, the standard American diet is basically a diet of fossil fuels. With the petrochemical fertilizers, the packaging, and the transportation, we're basically eating oil. So if you'd like to try and eat less meat, more fruits and veggies, it's as easy as a slice of apple pie or chomping down on a banana. Until next week, I hope that you will be kind to yourselves, kind to each other, kind to the animals and the planet. But don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you peace.